Take your Bibles, if you would, and return with me to that passage which we read together from the book of Ephesians. Yes, the young ones may be dismissed. Every time we have a New Year's message, it kind of makes me wonder what exactly we mean by New Year. Unfortunately, when you spend too much of your time in languages, you start asking, what do things really mean? And the word new has two separate and distinct meanings. Sometimes they blur, but you can see those meanings if you ask somebody and they tell you, how is your car running? And he says, oh, it wasn't running so well, so I have a new car. Well, what do you mean by a new car? A new car can mean I bought a 1994 car right off the lot, or it can mean I've got a used car, but it's new to me. It's a different car, hopefully a better and superior car, although I found that doesn't often work. And so the word new has two meanings. One means young and fresh, brand new, in the sense of it's just getting started. And the other meaning is the idea of something that's different, something that's better. What kind of new year is this? It's a new year in one sense, in that it's young, just 2 days old, although the way most people treat New Year's Eve in this world, it gets old in a hurry. They tend to wear it out in a hurry. But it is a new year. But is it going to be any different for you? There's something really frustrating for many people in that no matter how many fresh starts they get, it never changes. 1 year's pretty much just like the next. People make New Year's resolutions and they feel that because it's a fresh calendar year that somehow they've got the ability to live it in a new way. I'm afraid that doesn't work. You can't just up and say, I'm going to change things. It's going to be different this year. Unless things happen to change you, this year is just going to be like last year, only a little worse. When sin entered into the world, a process, I think, that was already present called entropy, things kind of break down, things kind of flow from being organized to disorganized, that process entered all of life in the form of corruption. Meaning when you've got something, it doesn't stay good. It gets worse. So by the natural course of things, this year is going to be worse than next year unless you do something about it. It would be okay if we could get something good and hold on to it and say, well, a new year, at least it's not any worse. But the truth is, it's a fresh year, it's a young year, but unless you make it a different year, it's going to be worse. Even for believers, you can't hold on to spiritual blessings. You can't, any more than you can hold on to an ice cube. They've got to be made new. They've got to be made different. It's got to be renewed in Christ. When you look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, we began with verse 20, where he's saying, earlier he had said, you people, he says, the Gentiles out there, that's a phrase that's often used for unbelievers. He said, these people, he said, all they live for is their passion and their lusts and what they want to do in this world. Now, lusts aren't always what you and I think of, just spiritual lusts and the idea of lusting after a woman, or the idea of lusting after food. Most people who live in this life come to a place where physical appetites at some point or another aren't important to them, but they still have lusts. Some people lust after security. They want to make sure as they grow older that they're not going to have to be insecure, that they can have things taken care of. Some people lust after affection. They lust after respect. You know, there's a lot of things you can lust after. And Paul says in verses 17, 18, and 19, he said, these people, he said, they've given themselves over to live that way. But that's not the way you've learned Christ. That's a problem sometimes, because I think that we haven't taught people firmly enough that if you're truly a believer, you've changed and you've learned a new way of living and a new pattern of living. that this idea of things becoming new and changing and different, you're accustomed to that. You expect it to be different. That if things stay the same, if things don't improve, you're bothered. You're worried about it because there's something wrong. Because Jesus Christ makes everything new. And as we come to this passage, I think it's interesting. He said, listen, you haven't learned those things about Christ, to live after your own passions and to live the way you want and just to be filled with yourself. Verse 21, if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He makes a little warning here. He says, now, those of you who are claiming to be Christians, he says, I want you to understand that that's not the way Christianity was taught to you. You were taught that here is the process of Christianity. It's not a process of dying, it's a process of living. It's not staying the same and getting more and more corrupt. It's becoming new. And here's how you do it. And very, very simple. Three steps for taking something that's old and making it new. And this will work for anything. Taking last year, the old year, and making sure that this year is a new year. Real simple. The Bible doesn't present you with a complicated system for living. It's just got to be a consecrated system, not complicated. Notice in verse 22, first step, that you put off concerning the former conversation, meaning the way you lived, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. First principle, if you want this year to be new, you got to stop doing some of the things you did last year. You cannot do something new without stopping to do something old. You cannot add new things to what you have. You've got to get rid of something before something new can be added. I don't know why Christians can't get that through their noodles, that you can't add new things to an old body. Jesus constantly pointed that out. One of the best illustrations he said is, you got an old, worn-out garment. What happens if you put a new patch on it? I try to make my wife do this all the time. You just get a pair of pants comfortable. Just get them comfortable. And what's your wife do? She throws them away. She throws them. You know, they're just so they fit you and they move and you can stand there and you actually got a knee without bending it. You know how it pooches out like that? And they're really comfortable. And the minute they get comfortable, and I tell my wife, patch it. I can't patch it. Yes, you can. You know, work miracles. Patch that thing up. You know what happens as soon as you put the patch on there? You can't just iron on those patches anymore. You sew around the edges. What happens when you sew that new stiff material to the old thin denim? You get rips, and it pulls away. You can't add something new to something old. It doesn't work. And yet Christians try to do that. They don't want to get rid of the things that have been in their life for years and years and years and years. The habits, the weaknesses, maybe it's a tongue that they can't control. Maybe it's a wandering eye. Maybe it's a pettiness of spirit, a lack of generosity. Maybe it's a self-satisfaction. They don't want to get rid of that, but they say, well, I'm going to pick up some new habits. I'm going to read my Bible more this year. If you don't work at putting away your sin, you're not going to work at reading more of your Bible. I want to pray more. I'm going to pray more this year. I'm going to tell you, you've got to give some things up if you want to pray. You can't just say, I'm going to pray. The reason you don't pray now is because you filled your life with things that distract your mind from God. You can't start to pray unless you put away some of these things. It's interesting how he describes them. You put off concerning your former manner of living, the old man. That's the whole set of things that characterize the way you live. That's how I would describe you, the old man, the old ways, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. He says, you know, your old man isn't just old, it's getting older. Corruption is things breaking down. It's watching something fall apart. It's a real exercise coming up here for the first winter. I just love it. I hope we get a little bit more snow. I like seeing snow on the ground. It's white. It softens everything because the white snow and the black roads make such a nice contrast. You know, you drive up here and pretty soon your car is black. And you realize it not only made your car black, what's it doing? It's eating the life out of it. Fortunately, the top of my car is fiberglass. The bottom is still your standard metal that's probably being eaten away at this moment. While we sit here, your cars are corrupting out in that parking lot. don't feel bad. You're corrupting sitting here inside the church, you know, just a different fashion. But it's not just that it blackens your car and makes it look bad. It's actually eating away. And he says, what's eating away at you are deceitful lusts. You know, as kids grow up, our culture just surrounds them with lusts. Go after this. Go after this. This is what's great. This is living now. Wouldn't this be great? And they're deceitful because they promise to make things better and they only make things worse. The music. And again, I don't know that, maybe I'll step on some toes. Most of what I hear in country western music is pretty sleazy today. So I don't think it's right just to jump on the kids for their music and then the adults listen to their whatever music. But it's not just music, it's advertising. You flip your way through a magazine, Time Magazine. How many of those pictures hit some kind of lust? How many of those advertisements make you want lust and you want to envy? Pick up Better Homes and Gardens. And you see these houses and you see the way people lay them out. Hey, everything. And it promises, if I had this, if I had this. And you know what that does? That's not only deceitful, that lust corrupts and makes you old. Women worry so much about growing old and is growing old going to change my features? I want to tell you what changes a woman's features is when she grows spiritually corrupt, jaded in the face, jaded, the look about her. She looks old before her time. It's not the natural process of the body growing old, because that is something that not only do we expect, but the spirit shows through. But when the spirit's old, when you see a woman who's seen too much and done too much, I don't know why God makes women much more beautiful than men. And on the other side, when there's an inner person that's ugly, that's much more visible than men too. And you get the best and you get the worst. Because lusts and going after those things, it corrupts and it makes you old. The Bible says before you can put on anything new, you got to get rid of something old. Give some thought. There isn't a person sitting in this room who can't, in a second, say, I better get rid of this in my life right now. What I have to get rid of and what you have to get rid of may be different, but think about what it is the Lord's telling you. You should have gotten rid of that a long time ago. You should have done something about that. And if you want this to be a new year, you can't just make a resolution. You have to act. You have to say, I'm getting rid of that today. Notice the next step in verse 2. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See the word renewed in verse 23 and then verse 24, and that you put on the new man. There are two different words in the Greek for new. We have one word for new that has two meanings. Greek has two words. These are two different words. The first word, renewed, is the one that means young, fresh, youthful, okay? Neonatal, the word neo comes from this. It's something that's new, a newborn child. That's what the word is in verse 23. We'll talk about the word in verse 24 in a moment. He said, I want you to be made young and to be made fresh in the spirit of your mind. First point, and notice it's passive. You can't make yourself young. Boy, if people could make themselves young. People try, and is there anything that looks more ridiculous than seeing somebody trying to look young? Guys, I'm 39 years old. I'm heading into the big four. Is it next year? It is for me. My wife won't hit it for a few more years, but next year is when I hit the big 4-0, and there's nothing more ridiculous than seeing 40-year-old men in their 40s, trying to act like they're in their 20s. That is absurd. That is just ridiculous, you know. They don't have enough hair up here, so they take the one hair and wrap it around about 50 million times, you know. They buy the sports cars. A lot of men, that's the time when they're not faithful to their wife. It's not a love issue. It's they're trying to make themselves young again, and you can't do it. You can't make yourself young. That's got to come from the outside. You cannot give yourself life. You cannot increase your life. You cannot make yourself more youthful. That comes from the outside. You know, God is the only one who can make your spirit young. It's the word youthful, fresh. God can take a person who has been jaded by sin. And by the way, you don't need to be very old to be jaded by sin. You can be 12, 13, younger. You see kids who've been spoiled rotten, kids who've ruined their lives at that young age by drugs, kids who've been ruining their lives by just filling themselves with rotten, foolish things. And you see some young kids who are pretty old inside and pretty corrupt. But God can take anyone and make them new and fresh, a sense of vitality. And you need to be renewed. You need to go to God and say, make me fresh. Let me take a moment and to speak to some of our older saints. One of the greatest hurdles that you're going to face is losing the youthful spirit in Christ. As you grow older, you've seen a lot, and you've experienced a lot, and you've learned a lot. But you can't live by your experience because every day is different. And the challenges you face today are just as serious, and you need to change just as much as you did the first day you were saved. You have to act like little children, just like you're newly saved. There's nothing sadder than seeing a person who's been saved for a number of years and who doesn't act like they've been saved for a number of days. And as you grow older, have you lost that sense of freshness? The sense that, Lord, what do you want to change in my life today? You know, you've grown accustomed to your habits and to your sins and to your weaknesses. And are you willing to say, Lord, I want to change. What do you want me to change today? Can you look at your life today and say, I've grown since last year? If you can't, there's something wrong with your life spiritually. And there's a real tendency to reach a plateau and to coast and to try to help other people. And try to help other people and bring them up to where you are. I want to tell you, unless you're moving up, you can't bring anybody to where you are. If you've reached a plateau in your life spiritually, where you're not growing, where your relationship with Christ isn't fresher, you'll get taken down. And I'll tell you what'll take you down. If you've reached a plateau spiritually, and you're not growing, and you're not new and fresh every day, when things happen to your body, when your health goes, when you become more and more frail physically, that'll wear your spirit down. But if you're growing in spirit, and if you're becoming fresh and new and saying, Lord, everything you give to me is wonderful, then when your body starts to be more and more of a weight and a pain, your spirit's free from that. And I encourage you, don't ever let yourself lose that being renewed by being close to Christ. We talk about it in marriage, that a marriage can grow old unless you let it be renewed. You know, one of the things that'll make a person youthful is a relationship with another person. You can tell when somebody has a new relationship. The ladies can tell when a lady comes into the office, one of your coworkers. You can tell when she's got a new relationship, right? She starts to dress a little different. She has a little perkier look in her eye. You can tell different things. You see a guy all of a sudden start to whistle, or you see a guy doing it. There's somebody I knew at school. That way. He was a seminary student. I thought he was long past redemption in terms of human relationships. And all of a sudden, why is he whistling? I've never heard that guy whistle before. It's because a relationship makes you feel young. It makes you act young. It makes you young. If you keep your relationship with Christ sweet and you go back, it'll make your spirit young. Every day, a sense of doing something for the Lord. First, you got to put away those old things. Identify it today. Don't just do it generally and say, oh, well, I'll get rid of it. You look at your life and say, I'm getting rid of that. That is wrong. That is corrupting me. That's making me old. And I am going to get rid of that. And I'm going to go to God and say, make me youthful. Keep me sweet. Keep my heart. Keep me thankful. You know, when a person is young, he wants to change. He wants to change. That's one of the marks of being young. Kids are never happy to be young, are they? They always want to grow older. You know, they want to get old enough to drive. They want to get old enough to do things. Well, maybe you've lost that spirit where you want to grow, where you want to become older, where you want to become new and you want to become different. You just want to hold on to what you got. You just want to try to grab onto it. Well, you've lost the freshness and the newness, and you need to go to God and say, give it back to me. I want the spirit of my mind, the inner life that controls me. I think that's what that phrase is referring to. I want that to be young. Third step, and you put on the new man. Put off the old, get a new, vigorous spirit and put on the new man. I want to tell you, without that middle step, you can't put on the new man. Spiritual life isn't meant to be led by somebody who's old at heart. I wasn't feeling well on Saturday night. If it hadn't been for that, I probably would have taken the teens down to see the clock whatever turn. But I wasn't keen on it. But I would have done it. It's because my heart is getting older, and I would have done it, and okay, let's go do it, and probably would have enjoyed myself, because whenever you get around teens, it's enjoyable, you know, even no matter what you're doing. But my heart's getting older. And when your spirit gets older, you can't do the activities of a young person. It's not your body, it's your spirit. You find people who, in advanced years, want to do these activities and want to do new things. It's not their body that gives out, it's their spirit. Spiritually, you can put off the old man, but without a young, new, fresh spirit, you won't try anything new for the Lord. You won't try anything different. You don't want the services different. You won't want your devotions different. You won't try new things in your life. You're grown old inside. But if you want to put on the new man, you better have a spirit that can sustain it. You better have a heart and a vigor to sustain it. It says here, this word for new, this second word in verse 24, means different, superior. It doesn't mean young, but it means something that's new, new to you. It's different. It's better than the old version. The Bible says you've got to start putting on some new ways. What new ways did you add last year, 1993? Just look at your life and say, what things did I do new for the Lord this past year? If you can't think of one clear example, you failed. God didn't fail. God's still working. God will bring you to what he wants. But you have failed. You know, there are so many ways that we measure our life. We have so many goals. This has been a tremendous year of change for my wife and I. But just because something is different, it doesn't make it new and better. This word doesn't just mean different. A lot of people are trading. We knew a couple in Laurel, Fred and Sarah Reed's brother. He would trade houses how often? Every couple years? Buy a new house, move. Oh, after moving, we moved twice this summer. I don't want to do it again until I'm like 90. The idea of moving again is, oh, they just move to move to move. It'll be better. It'll be better. Hey, you can try things different, but it's got to be superior. It's got to be God's way. It's got to be, notice what he says, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's got to be ways that are right with God, ways that have a genuine holy character. Let me make a couple suggestions here how you can do some of these things. First, examine yourself today. That's what this table is all about. This table isn't going to make you any more holy, but it's a time to bring you short and to say stop and examine yourself and make a decision that you're going to change today. You don't start a diet tomorrow. You don't start a new way of life tomorrow. You start it today. I can remember the day my father stopped smoking. It was his last pack of cigarettes, and he had it there, and he was down to two cigarettes. And he said, I'm just going to, this afternoon I'll have one, this evening, and then tomorrow, none. And he showed us all the pack, and he said, this is the last pack of cigarettes, the last time I'm going to smoke, and he set it down. 5 minutes later, my little sister, who I don't know how old she was, maybe 3-4 year old, came in with two mangled cigarettes. You know, Dad, you don't need these anymore. Kind of, you know, I was starting tonight, you know. He actually, until that Bible got misplaced, it was the strangest bookmark you've ever seen. He had that pack, that cigarette pack, as a bookmark in his Bible. And a lesson to him, you don't break a habit tomorrow. You never do that. If you walk out of this service and you've seen things this morning in your life and you haven't decided this morning right at the communion table, I'm changing that, you've missed the boat. You decide today. You got to act quickly. You can't wait to do these things. God is not pleased by a person who waits. God shows you something to do. He says, do it. He doesn't expect you to think about it. God doesn't give you time to cogitate. Obedience is get it done now. A second suggestion is a little harder. How about asking someone close to you, have you seen a change in my life? Have you seen me grow any closer to the Lord? You know, it's one thing when you think about it yourself. How about going to somebody and asking that question? You know, that forces you to get serious about your life. Have you seen me change? What kind of changes have you seen in me? You know, when a person is trying to improve something and earnest about it, they want to know the difference. A woman who goes on a diet to lose weight, a man never knows whether to say, boy, you've lost a lot of weight, or just, what do you say? You know, is she going to be offended? Most ladies say, well, they like to see when there's a difference. They like somebody to tell them when there's a difference. They're serious about it. You want to see improvement. Well, if you're serious about improving your spiritual life, how about asking somebody, what do you see? Have you seen a change in me? Do you see me growing or not? I got a third suggestion. It's quite specific. Get straight in your devotions. Maybe you've been slacking off on your devotions. That's where you do business with God in your personal life on a day-by-day basis. I got a specific suggestion. How about keeping a diary this year? Spiritual diary. In it, you just, whatever you read that day, you write down, whatever you prayed about, and you say, these are the things I'm growing, and you write it down. If you don't keep it for 3-4 days, 3-4 weeks, I don't care. The next opportunity you get, you start it up again, and you make a note. I stopped doing this for 5 weeks, and you wait and you whether you see progress at the end of the year. Maybe you let it go for 2 months, and then the second time you did it for a while, and you let it go for a month, and the third time you let it go for a week. If you can see progress at the end of the year in keeping the diary, how about writing in it things like insights? I've seen this about God today. How much more do you know about God? How much closer are you to Him? Write it down. Is it sweet to you to open up your Bible? I mean, is it a chore or is it something you like to do? My parents, when I was in ninth grade, bought me a Scofield Reference Bible. Never had a reference Bible of my own. And over Christmas break, it was the first I'd ever been exposed to my own Bible study. All I did is I went through, read every verse, and I read the center margins and the notes and all the things on the bottom. I went through the book of Amos. I look back and say, what would possess somebody to go through Amos? But I loved every minute of it. It was fresh. I'll tell you something, that if you really want to change your life, you're not doing it, set apart a place for your devotions. A place to keep your Bible and your spiritual diary. One place. A place where you can sit and sit down and have it in front of you and have everything really right there. And if you stop it for a while, get back on it. Don't just count on, well, if I don't do it every day, it does me no good. You do it and you do it and you go back to it and you go back to it. But write it down. Say, Lord, I see this today. Lord, here's my problem today. Lord, here's what I'm thinking about today. And you keep a diary, and then you look back and see these things. Bring yourself accountable in your diary. Hey, these are some things that you could do today. They're not going to take hours of your time. But what they'll do is they'll guarantee that you've come before God and you've said, God, you've given me a young year, a year that's recent and new. It's only 2 days old. And I want to make it a new year, a different year, and a better year. And I'm going to do that by taking that old man and those old things, and I'm going to identify them. I'm going to say, I will work on this and put it away and say, I'm done with it. I don't want to make those things that make me old. I want a young, fresh spirit. I want some vigor in my life, and I'm going to start putting on some new ways. I'm going to start doing that. I don't have to totally reform my life tomorrow, but I got to start on something today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it's so obvious to me some of the things I need to begin doing and I need to do and pick up again. You are so good to send your Son to die so that we can change these things, so that we don't have to grow old, so that, Father, we can have a freshness. And what you've given to me, I praise you for. I would ask it as a church. We would grow as each person in here becomes so much sweeter in their walk with you, that we would be able to look at one another's lives and see the changes that are happening
and to see you at work in our midst. Oh, you would gain great glory for your Son if you would do this for us. And as we approach this table today, bless us. May it be a time of setting our hearts aside, consecrating them, setting them apart to do what you would have us to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.